Welcome, listeners, to the Let's Talk About It podcast.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Ashley, and we'll be hosting the show.
Each week, we'll be voicing our opinions on relevant topics and creating a safe space for self-improvement. Just know, knowledge is power.
You can learn anything from anyone as long as you're willing to. We will provide an array of different topics to spark new beliefs and enhance current ideals.
Let's learn together and have fun while doing it. Hey y'all.
Hello everybody.
Welcome back to episode 2.
We are your hosts. I am Ashley.
And I'm Kayla. So sorry for the delay, but due to current events in the news with Black Lives Matter, police brutality, systematic oppression, and all the other stuff we see on a daily basis, we decided to change the initial topic for this episode. We feel like it's only right that we speak on the injustices that have been deeply ingrained in this country, especially since we are two Black women in America. Also, just wanted to let you know that this topic will be broken up into different episodes because it is a very complex topic.
So please make sure you guys are on the lookout for when we drop these new episodes because this is definitely a conversation that needs to be had. Before we do get started in the thick of the episode today, I just wanted to start us off with a quote. And the quote goes, "We may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated." And that was said by the late and the great Maya Angelou. We love her. She was a very impactful Black woman, especially in my life, reading her works growing up. She's definitely a huge inspiration to not only myself, but the entire Black community. So I think it's very powerful to start off this heavy emotional conversation with a quote from her. Before we do get started, though, I do want to say my piece with everything that's going on to all the countless beautiful Black souls whose lives have been cut short at the hands of those who are sworn to protect. I am deeply, deeply sorry for what cards were dealt to you. Your beautiful, brown, melanated skin was seen as a weapon to those murderers. I wish everyone could see it like we do. We are majestic, we are resilient, and nonetheless, we matter. I also want to acknowledge those who are protesting and putting their safety on the line to fight for the simple human right to just breathe. The system has deeply failed us Black Americans from the start of it all.
All right, so with that, how are you feeling with everything going on as of lately?
So, you know, growing up in modern times, it's not like I didn't see this kind of thing coming, and I say that with the most heaviness in my heart. This is such a hard topic to speak on. Not only just to be a Black woman in America, but also I feel like anyone who has to view on the news a Black man or a Black man being killed, this should be a hard time for everyone. I will not say that I am surprised, but I am heavily disappointed in the system and in law enforcement.
Yeah.
And the way that some people are choosing to react to the movement as a whole. I remember growing up and seeing the Ferguson riots and the slaughtering of Trayvon Martin, rest in peace. I remember Tamir Rice, God rest his soul, so young. I think he was 10 years old
mm-hmm.
when he was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Bland, I went back and watched all of her videos, and she was such a beautiful light
mm-hmm.
and such a gift from God, and to see that no matter how beautiful, how young,
how educated,
and you know, Trayvon Martin wasn't doing anything wrong
at all.
And Arizona in a bag of Skittles
with a hoodie on,
like that's what he had on him. And still, they were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like no matter how you put it, like George Floyd, God rest his soul as well, you know, people are pulling up, well, if he didn't have fake money, if he didn't do this, if he wasn't a criminal, da-da-da-da. Whatever the case may be, he did not deserve to die.
Mm-mm.
And no matter what that autopsy report said, hypertension was not the cause of his death.
Mm-mm.
The 8 minutes and 46 seconds of that monster that kneeled on his neck while the other three goons just stood around, that's what killed him.
And it was uncalled for.
Uncalled for.
Could have been handled in a whole different
way.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like I said earlier, like it really hurts to say this. Like, I'm not surprised at all, but I'm heavily disappointed in law enforcement, in the amounts of investigations that haven't been had yet. For example, Breonna Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it take so long?
Exactly.
It's right there for you to see, you know?
My God rest her with soul. Her is like, how was it ever okay to just run into or like come into somebody's house right. without a warrant? That is so crazy. And like they just changed that law, I believe, in the city that she's from, you know, where it happened,
mm-hmm.
to where you can't do that anymore. But like, why was that ever okay?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. You know, her case reminds me of, and I just had to look it up to get my facts straight, but Huey P. Newton of the Black Panther Party.
Oh, yeah.
He was killed in his sleep as well. Mm-hmm. So, you see, however many years have passed, but it's the same situation.
Mm-hmm. History repeating itself.
Right.
Over and over and over again.
Exactly. And, you know, the roles that the schools played in my life personally, especially in history classes, was if we didn't learn the history, then we will make the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I didn't learn about the killing of Huey P. Newton until I took African American studies in college. So I guess what I'm getting at is, how are we supposed to avoid history if we're not being taught our history in the first place?
All of the history.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, to all the names that I've mentioned and the countless names that I did not, I pray for you and your families and everyone whose lives you've touched, whether that have been close friends, family, social media. Your life mattered mm-hmm. so much.
And will always
matter. Always matter. Right. Like I said, I am still so touched and so hurt by Sandra Bland. Because, like, I went back and I saw her social media content, and she was such a light in this world. And to see that get cut short, yeah. My little brother, I think of my little brother when all this stuff starts to go down. I don't know what I would do without him, you know? And to think that there's a chance that a police officer or, and I'm just going to say it how it is, a white nationalist, a white supremacist would see the color of his skin and want to kill him because of that. That is terrifying. So just to sum it up, because I know I said a lot, but I am feeling I'm feeling deeply hurt, disappointed, and worried for our future. That's how I'm feeling lately. But how about you?
I will piggyback off what you said about your brother and all that stuff. I had seen a post that one of my younger cousins had posted on Instagram, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because I love all of my family, of course, but like the ones that are younger than me, they're like my little babies, you know?
Right.
So it's like, damn, to see them post that, and it's like,
how
when I
they?
Do have kids, how old am I? Jesus, how old are they? 10th grade, I think that one was in. One is about to, or graduated this year. The other one's in 10th grade.
Oh.
So it's like seeing them post stuff like that. And like knowing like what they have to go through, because you know I go through stuff
mm-hmm.
being a black woman
right.
in America
mm-hmm.
so I know if I go through stuff, I know they go through stuff, and
mm-hmm.
like just to think about all of my younger family members, it's sad, because it's like you shouldn't have to go through this. I shouldn't have having to went through it.
Right.
It's I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
There was a moment like after George Floyd where I was thinking, I was like, damn, do I even want to have kids anymore?
Oh my God, I had that too.
And like I almost started
God.
Crying, because it's like it happened way back when, started like, well, probably way before that, but like with Emmett Till, still
right.
happening
oh
now.
God.
And it's like,
right.
do I want to have kids?
Right.
Like if this is their future, no matter what I do, no matter how educated they are, like,
there's
is this gonna, yeah, like, is this how they're gonna end up?
Right.
It's like, I can't help but to think about that.
Right. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
I can say the same thing went through my mind, and even apart from the movement, there's nothing more that I want to be in this world than my want to be a mother.
Exactly.
I want to be a mother. I want to raise beautiful black children in a world where they don't have to worry about the racial prejudices that have been established long before them, long before us.
Yeah.
And you brought up Emmett Till, and I'm going to bring up George Sidney Jr. So young, he was the youngest person to get executed in modern times.
Mm.
And the jury only took 10 minutes. And it's just, and they're young boys. Tamir Rice, we already mentioned him.
Yeah.
So young. Imagine going through, you know, the pregnancy or, you know, the adoption process, whatever it may be, raising this child from the ground up with values that are enrooted in compassion and empathy and just love, and also teaching them to be intelligent Black Americans and still have that chance of them being executed or slain in the streets. Mm-hmm. Maybe even if it's not by police officer, maybe by some random bystander, you know, and having someone film it too.
Yes.
How do you live with that, you know?
And not go in to help, like.
Right. So it's really, you know what? I side with your fear 100,000,000% because to be a mother of a Black child must be the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Especially right now because times are just so uncertain. Yeah. So.
And it's like, I already know, like, being a mother or being a parent, of course, when your kid is born, you already have fears for your kid.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, being a Black parent, you know, having a Black kid, it's, I feel like it's possibly like 10 times more because of everything that's been going on.
Right. There's levels to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a worry to be had. But two, I mean, I guess one thing that is making me want to have kids even more is to, you know, have them acknowledge the past that happened before them.
Yeah.
And to just keep that in mind to create a better future for the people who come after them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, I'm in the middle. I'm right there with you. But, you know, there's a great quote. I forget who said, I'll have to add it in the description. But you can't live your life in fear. Mm-hmm. Because there's always that one possibility of the beauty in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with that being said, I don't want to limit myself, but there's a fear of the unborn children. There's a fear of the children who are already here.
Mm-hmm.
The teenagers, like you said, like your younger family members. Mm-hmm. I have younger siblings. That fear is always going to be deeply ingrained. So it's definitely something to look out for.
Yeah.
And even if they weren't to get killed in the streets, there's still a bunch of racial prejudice that happens with growing up. And I think one of the main forms of that prejudice that we see is the usage of the N-word.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
And especially growing up in SoCal, for you grew up here in Vegas?
Yeah, right? Here in Vegas and traveled a lot.
Okay, so, you know, from any corner of this country, you hear the word. Now, whose mouth is the word coming out of? So, that's the next question we're going to cover, is how do you personally feel when you hear the N-word, and how do you feel when someone who isn't Black says the N-word? How does that make you feel?
When someone that's not Black that says the N-word, first of all, you shouldn't be saying it point blank, period.
Right.
It's just unacceptable for, you know, somebody like that to say it. Especially with the weight of the word.
Right.
And then I seen on the internet a while ago, I should have looked into it more, but I seen like for Black people, we use that word, like back then, it was like to uplift one another, but it was a different, it wasn't that one, it was a different usage of the word, and different spelling of the word as well, like how we use it to uplift each other. So it's like saying, you know, like my brother, my sister, like uplifting them and stuff like that.
Like we took back the word.
Yeah, right. Basically. Yeah, and changed the lettering and all that stuff. But yeah, and it's like always when, also like when I hear people who aren't Black say it, I feel like, do I have to think, like, are you saying it to be, you know, malicious and with ill intent?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you saying it, like, as, like, oh, my girl or my boy,
my friend.
Yeah. And it's like, I shouldn't have to question your intent of saying the word.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't say it at all around me.
Period.
Because then I will get mad and there will be some issues if you do say the word around me. I don't play around with that at all.
Right. Yeah. As you shouldn't.
Exactly.
I'm the same way. You know what? there has been multiple times where I've had to clock somebody for saying that word in front of me. Just because there's a level of disrespect that comes from that word, even yes. when they say, hey, my blank up. Mm-hmm. Like we just covered. That word has been taken back by the Black community in a sense of empowering and uplifting one another. Mm-hmm. You hear it in mainstream media. Mm-hmm. You hear it back and forth with each other. But when it is said by someone who is not African American or Black, period, mm-hmm. you're out of line. Mm-hmm. And my recent encounter, I would say, with someone who wasn't Black who said the N-word, they got super offended and super upset with the fact that I said that they can't say that word and why they shouldn't. But there was a lot of learning that had to go into that because, too, you can't make someone do something that they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And so in that situation, I learned that all you can do is educate the person and just hope for the best. Hope that they receive the message. But at the end of the day, a lot of people don't because, and this within, you know, a lot of things in Black culture, they are things that are just used lightly.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So especially the N-word, I feel like that's like the biggest hit that we get is you just hear it out of everyone's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The word is not for you.
Exactly.
At all, period. So, let's not say it. When I hear other Black people say it with one another, I don't have a problem. Why? Because it's ours. We own it now. And so, you know, I do understand that in some cases, those non-Black people, POCs too, like if you're not Black, don't say it. But, you know, when I hear them say it, you feel energies. And most of the time, I don't feel any malicious intent. However, it's disrespectful to me, and the thing about me is I will let if you're disrespecting me then I will let it be known. I won't come at you in a negative manner, but you know, I'll just speak my piece.
Yeah.
And then from there, if you continue to say it in front of me, like, you know, the one person did, mm-hmm. In my recent encounter, it's just like now you're actively choosing,
yeah,
to be disrespectful. The malicious intent isn't out there. And so now that's a whole nother level of hearing someone who isn't Black saying the N-word, because now the boundary has been set. You mm-hmm. know, I often say, hey, this offends me. Here's why. I'm not going to give you a whole history lesson because it's not my job to do the work for you.
Go research and do it
yourself. Exactly. But, you know, I'll just lay out the boundary. Like, I'm not okay with hearing this. Mm-hmm. This offends me. If you were to come to me and tell me that you don't want me to call you a certain thing or to say a certain thing near you,
exactly.
I will respect your space 100,000% because that is the person that I am. So I would expect that same respect from you. Now, I didn't get that. And so, like I said, there's a whole nother level of hurt that comes from that word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I stand with it. And then when I hear the N-word with the hard R, then that's just a whole...
Oh, yeah. That's a whole...
Look, people.
You're bringing out a whole nother Kayla at this point when I hear that word.
Now you don't unleash the beast.
Okay.
And for those of y'all who know me, you know, I'm not necessarily hot-headed. I'm a person who feels, who gets saddened, who gets offended and upset, and that is how I process certain things like this. But when I hear the hard R, I just jump the sadness.
Yeah.
I am in full fury mode. I am the little angry dude from inside out. I just got flames coming out my forehead. I'm ready to fight because now you know that word is unacceptable.
Exactly.
No matter where you went to school, the curriculum was taught.
Exactly.
You know that it's hurtful.
And it's
so
like, how dare you? Like, how, like...
Right.
How dare you say that one specific word?
Right.
Like...
And in front of
the
Black
nerve,
person.
The nerve, the audacity.
Please.
Like, stop.
I know.
Cut it out.
Cut it right out. So, you know what? And I've been called that word before.
Really?
At a young age. I do not want to get into the thick of it because, girl, it hurts. But it's something, you know, we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
So we will. It's just being a young girl and hearing that word. This was before, to put it in perspective, I was about 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of before you get to learn about the real thick of slavery.
Yes.
But when you do learn about this word and you have the book in your face, you see the pictures of the slaves, and you know it hurts enough, but then you go back to that time where you were called that word. That's a whole nother level of hurt because now you know the intention behind it.
Mm-hmm.
you have a different level of hurt than you had the time before.
Yeah.
And then you hear it when you get older in the future, as I have before. And you know what? Nothing disappoints me more than when I hear someone using that word in a malicious way.
Yeah.
Because you know
yeah.
it's bad. So that's just me personally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's heavy weight.
It's triggering. It's triggering as
yeah.
hell.
Yes.
But that's another thing too. And I will say this for my my Black brothers and sisters who are listening, because I mentioned this earlier and I feel like this needs to be said. When you hear someone who says the N-word, maybe not the hard R, but with, you know, with the A.
If it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Right. Address
yeah.
that.
Yes.
Because you have all the right in the world to address how you feel, even if it has nothing to do with this. Even if it's a situation that makes you feel uncomfortable, period, address that because you have that power.
Yeah.
But two, if that person asks you why, take a step back and think, okay, well, how does that make any sense? You know what this word means.
Yeah.
So when they ask you why, that's they're kind of looking at a chance to see your reasoning behind it. And here's the beautiful thing about this. They don't deserve that. And you aren't required to give them your reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a Black person, it's already very difficult to access our history.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your job to do the work and to teach other people things that they can learn on their own.
Exactly. Because we had to do it. School sure in the heck waited way late to teach us stuff about our history.
Right. So it's not your job.
Yeah.
At all.
At all. All right. So do you feel like you have a racist radar type of thing?
Girl, I gotta just tell you because you know what? You can just really, okay, I feel energies.
Mm-hmm.
And my listeners, I know y'all feel this when I say it. You guys can just, you read a room and you can tell that it's just some people that you are not going to associate
yes.
with. And I know you felt that before, okay? I'm not lying to you. Caleb, you felt that.
Of course.
Right.
Like, all the time. I feel like I feel like it's something that we just know. I don't know if it's like a learned
it's
thing.
It's like human intuition, I would say.
Yeah, like female intuition.
Girl, because listen. But anyhow, so with that being said, and I was taught not to judge, okay, because that's not my job. However, girl, yes, I can just tell when some people, it's the look that they give you.
Mm-hmm. The way they start talking.
It's the language that they use with you. And it's the interaction as a whole. You can
yes.
just kind of, you can judge it off of that. And so I wouldn't say that you're judging the person just by looking at them.
Yeah.
You have had a conversation. You have had that interaction, and I feel like at that point you can make the decision like, hey, this person is probably a little bit racist.
Yeah.
So me personally, girl, I would say I have it, because 9 times out of 10 you don't know someone's intention until they kind of unravel that to you.
Yeah.
And when someone shows you who they really are, girl, you trust
it. Okay, when they show
girl,
you
the
first
you trust
time
it,
it's like, and like growing up, I think I started getting like where it's like, I just sometimes, and I feel like it's bad of me, it's a bad habit of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I assume
mm-hmm.
if you aren't Black that you're racist until proven otherwise.
Right.
Because with some people, like in the past, it's like, okay, this person isn't racist. And then it's like some other time.
They prove you wrong.
Yes.
Girl.
And
yes.
it's like,
so what?
I'm like, oh, shoot. I seen the traits in the beginning.
Right.
I just chose to ignore it.
Right.
And then now, a month, like 6 months or
you
something
let
like
it
this
fester,
later.
You
yes.
think about
and it's
it.
Like, wow.
And when that connection is made.
And it just popped out the bag.
Bow. Just like that. I've been
goodness.
There before. And the thing is, too, are we surprised?
No, because then I like remember and think back to like the first
right.
time, and I was like, I knew it,
right?
And it's like, I just should have went with my gut feeling,
as you should,
and just stopped it,
right? Yeah, man, I've been through that exact same thing recently with the whole Black Lives Matter being in the media as it should. I'm seeing some racist ideals. Now, I'm not going to say that this person isn't definitely racist. However, some of the things that be coming out your mouth, I see you. I see your silence. Mm-hmm. I see the words that you're using. And most of all, I see the things that you're sharing. Girl, Twitter is very public. Okay. So, and anytime I see that side of somebody, I know that they do not deserve any space in my life. Mm-hmm. They are disturbing my energy. That is up to me to keep sacred. So I do so and I block them.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the time for it. Now, I can see how that's an idea of where, well, you're choosing not to see the other side. And in some cases, I will say, I read on the other side in quotation marks, and the other side being the All Lives Matter kind of people, or the Blue Lives Matter people. But girl, I can't get down with it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, there is nothing in those sentences that I can be like, aha, like, I agree, because I don't. So, back to the actual question, girl, yes, I have a racial radar, and once a little beeper goes off, you're blocked, you're muted, you're unfriended, you are excommunicated.
Like, cut off.
To jail you go.
Exactly.
So, I have a really good question for you, and I think it'll be cool to move the conversation in this direction, but have you been through anything racially motivated, and in more depth, where the melanin in your skin has probably caused harm? And do you feel like the melanin in your skin, if you didn't have that, do you think the situation would have been different?
Most definitely. Especially going into stores like Barnes & Noble, Target, Nordstrom's. Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. Like, stores like that. Like, higher-end stores, I guess. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, when I have, like, my bigger purse. Because I do carry bigger purses. I don't really carry the little
big
small.
Big American bags.
I don't carry the smaller purses and stuff like that. So, like, when I go in with my big purse, and it's... So, I used to work retail, so I know the signs and stuff like that of how you start, you know, when you talk in the walkie-talkie, like, hey, we probably need to keep an eye on this person. Mm-hmm. I know those signs, so I know, like, when I see the people, when I go into these stores, when they start approaching me or, like, just around the area that I'm in, mm-hmm. I know that. So, when I see that, I'm like, dang, like, I'm not about to steal nothing. Like, if I'm coming into the store, I'm coming into it with a purpose that I'm going to buy something.
Right.
But then, like, when I see, like, multiple employees coming over into
like
my area.
Like, just walking by.
Yeah, like, right. Constantly. It's like, first of all, when you're coming over there, not even trying to spark up a conversation or something like that, just, like, keep on peeping.
Right.
Like,
can I get a hi, how are you?
Like, hello.
Damn, what are you shopping
doing?
For today?
Exactly. Like, do you want this bag for your accessories?
Right, for your items. Right.
Like, something, just come and start up some type of conversation.
Right.
Because now you're...
It's awkward.
It's popping out. Like, mm-hmm. You're showing your true colors.
Your bias.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, like, what else happened? At a very young age, obviously, because I am of a darker skin tone.
And you're beautiful.
Thank you.
First of all.
I went through this with someone who is really close with me. Their mm-hmm. grandmother. Mm-hmm. This specific person... I believe, and has been said, that they didn't like black people. So it's like the age, probably like how you said, you were 7. I believe I was like 6 or 7 or something like this. Mm-hmm. This person just legit ignored me, didn't talk to me. Aww. And I remember I went back to my grandma and grandpa, and I believe I told my mom as well, like, hey, this person, they were acting this type of way and this type of way. And that's when they ran down the story for me.
Right.
And I was like, oh. And it's crazy that you have to learn that at such a young age.
At a young age.
Because it's like, damn, I shouldn't be thinking about this stuff at a young age. I should be playing with my Barbies and
Polly Pockets.
Living a carefree life.
Right. Yeah, I get you. I can't say that I've, like, experienced a lot of racism growing up, although I have been called, like I previously mentioned, the N-word, but when colorism is put into account, I'm of a lighter skin tone. I haven't felt the wrath as much. Not saying that I haven't ever, but I have previously felt it before. Just today, we're at Smith's doing our thing, my fiance and I buying our groceries, and the ladies just peered over our shoulder like, baby girl, I got the money to pay for these groceries.
See, like, these stores.
And the thing is, too, like you said, I feel like, so when I worked in retail, when I learned loss prevention, a big thing that we did was to start conversation, mm-hmm. Make it not so awkward and not so obvious.
Yeah.
And I feel like the reason why these people aren't taking the next step to start a conversation is because they're a little bit scared.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little bit worried. And honestly, I can understand where loss prevention is concerned, but when it's a black person that's literally like, girl, I'm looking at books.
Okay.
Why do you think I'm about to steal something?
So, and like, if I am, let me educate myself. I'm probably not even about to walk out the store. Wait a minute, can I just read a couple pages?
Please, right, so I can know if I want it or not.
Right.
So it's just things like that. But we went down south to Jacksonville, Florida once. My family and I, we met, you know, some extended family members from my mom's side. And for those of you who do not know, I am adopted into a white family. Hi, Mom. I hope you're listening, by the way. But, so, being adopted into a family that's predominantly white, I wouldn't say that I felt any negativity coming from the family that I met. However, being in that area with my beautifully colored siblings of all different shades, mind you, and then, you know, just seeing people look at us a little bit differently,
mm-hmm.
it's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
It's obvious, and it's eye-opening, too, you know, to see that people still think this way.
Yes.
People think that it's cool to just stare us down for fun. It was really interesting to see, like, I wonder how it is for black folks down south. Like, how do y'all handle this kind of stuff every day?
It's tough.
I bet.
I see.
It's crazy, so... Yeah. You know, especially those who live in predominantly white areas, how do y'all handle that every day? Like, people coming up to you and, you don't belong to live here. You don't get to live here, but you pay your monthly rent or you're paying off your home. How does that make y'all feel? I would like to hear some of y'all's stories if any of our listeners are from that area, because I bet it's really trivializing for y'all.
Okay. I seen on Twitter, probably last week or the week before, it was a black girl, and she was saying, I believe it was either in Texas or Louisiana, that it is a city that no black people go to. Yeah, because it's just like that racially charged, and right. They do not want black people there. So like nobody, I believe they said nobody of the skin color, melanated, they do not go there. That's and crazy. It's crazy to think that, because we are in 2020. Like, please get over yourself.
Right, please. But that's a great form of prejudice that still exists. Like,
yes.
There's marginalized parts of this country that have people who think that way still. And if we want any sort of change, that mindset has to be eliminated.
Yeah.
Now, we don't live in a perfect utopian society, and I totally get that. But it's just like, you know, like you said, we're in 2020. How are y'all still thinking like this? It's something very interesting to see. But I think another thing that gets me a little bent out of shape is when I hear black folk saying that this whole situation doesn't affect them, period.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Kayla, riddle me this. If you have a drop of melanin in your skin... No, wait, let's go back.
All right.
I want to go over a case with y'all that I previously learned in my ethnic studies courses, and that was Plessy v. Ferguson.
Come on.
Which really was the ruling of if you are the littlest bit of black.
Yeah.
So I believe the number was 7% black. You're still black. You are still part of the black community.
Exactly.
So, for those of y'all who are melanated, who are African American, and y'all don't necessarily think that this pertains to you, that this movement doesn't affect you, that you think that you are safe from this stuff, I just want to let y'all know, without invalidating your experience, that you couldn't be any more incorrect. And I say that from the nicest place in my heart, from the most caring and warm place in my heart. Because, like we mentioned earlier, Sandra Bland was a beautiful black woman who was very adamant on uplifting her community, and she was still killed.
Yeah.
So, where, in your opinion, Kayla, like, where does the disconnect begin, do you think, for these people? Why do you think they feel the way that they do?
So I feel like maybe for like, because it's actually, I actually heard this last week. And I think like for the older generation, just say maybe 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe they might say something like, oh, it's none of my business. It doesn't concern me, mm-hmm. all of that jazz. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they've lived through so many cases.
Right.
Like we see Sandra Bland, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Philando Castile, mm-hmm. all of that. Like they've been through the more recent ones and the older cases where right. social media and the internet wasn't as popular as it is now.
Right.
So they're probably like numb to it now, which is crazy. Right. Especially because back then in the day, like I know it's still currently an issue, but with all like the gang culture and all that good stuff, like just mm-hmm. imagine like everything that our elders had to see with the gang culture as well as with the police brutality,
right.
It's the a lot. FBI stuff with the COINTELPRO, if you guys don't know about that, go research COINTELPRO, mm-hmm. J. Edgar Hoover, all of that stuff,
right?
Because it's a lot to deal with, and it's right. like you can't really change nothing about it. Because, you know, this is the color of my skin, like,
right.
And it's crazy because, like, seeing all of this, like me now researching all of this, knowing as much as I do, mm-hmm. and like the way these people were treated because of the color of their skin, and that's something that you legit cannot change about yourself. It's right. crazy.
Right.
So I believe that's their disconnect, is that they're numb to mm-hmm. it because they've seen so much of it.
That's valid.
Yeah. But it's still crazy because it does include you. This is your business.
Right.
Like, you aren't.
This is your fight.
Exactly. Because you are still a black woman or man person at the end of the day.
Right. And I bet it's emotionally taxing for them, too, to just continuously see
yeah.
black folks slain in the streets.
Yeah.
So, that point of view, honestly, I haven't really heard it like that before. And I'm glad that I asked that question because that kind of opens up another level of thought for myself. It gave me like an aha moment, like mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense because yeah. growing up in these times, 80s, 90s, 2000s, yeah. and having to live through it again, I bet it's emotionally taxing for them.
Yeah.
I bet it's very difficult for them to see. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because
I know it was emotionally draining for me just within the beginning of this year. Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, mm-hmm. George Floyd. Like, that's draining.
It is. It's really hard.
Just to see it every day go on and on and on.
Right. My thought, too, is I see black folk our age
mm-hmm.
saying that it's not their fight or it's none of their business. Or, two, they just don't know how they can help, especially with social media being so dominant
yeah.
right now. Our generation has the power
yes.
at their fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
There's numerous petitions you can sign.
Mm-hmm.
You can donate if you have the means to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't donate, you can educate yourself because knowledge is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And with your knowledge, although I said it's not your work to do the educating, it doesn't hurt either.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, too, that I think of is the protests that we're doing. You know, we've went to some.
Mm-hmm.
It was a difficult experience. At one point, I had to grab on my fiance's hand and just run for the hills because things started to heat up.
Yeah.
And that's really terrifying because we're not, and I can say this because I was there, and I will let me have that be heard. I saw it with my own four eyes.
Okay.
I was on the ground. I saw it from my own eyes. We are peaceful people.
Yes.
We are. Walking down the street with our signs, doing our chants. I'm socially distancing because, girl, I do not have the time to get into COVID-19.
Okay.
But
mask on.
Right. Mask on, mind you. And we're there for the, and I would hope for the same cause. Now, we do have some people out there who are destroying stuff, and they're not necessarily here for Black lives. And that's none of my business, but it is. but, you know, especially at the time when things started to pop off, we were so peaceful. And to see that in a snap of a finger,
yeah.
you know, things can heat up so quickly. And I bet that's terrifying for some people, like that thought of like, oh my god, what if I get tear gas, what if I get with the rubber bullets and like all this stuff. I bet it's hard. So let's say even if you don't want to protest, you can do the online stuff.
Yeah. And also, talking about rubber bullets, I didn't know they were so freaking huge.
Girl.
Like, why are they...
And they're supposed to be shot at the ground and like, the bounce back physics. It should...
Yeah. Makes sense. So, like, I seen where the boy lost the eye. The other boy had to go have brain surgery. It's like, why are y'all shooting these at people?
You know what? Okay, listen. And I laugh, not because this is funny,
yeah,
but because
not at all.
This is just so mind-boggling. I saw a video of a police officer, like, okay, y'all play, like, Black Ops? I personally don't, but I see my fiance on her game all the time. And I see, like, the characters, and they look like they're, like, amped up, and they're, like, excited to go, like, fight and do all the stuff, like, you know, they're emote and all the stuff, whatever. I saw a police officer, like, hyping himself up to go do this. Like, he was excited for it.
I think I know what video you're talking about. I see that. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Wait.
Like, what?
How sociopathic is that?
Exactly.
You need a therapist.
Exactly. Like, every day you need to go.
And is it fair to, because we just covered that a boy had to get surgery, mm-hmm. another lost his eye. Mm-hmm. I saw this beautiful black woman. She got hit in the middle of her eyebrows, and it was a bad wound. Same thing with another young black woman. She's just like totally, and this is gore trigger warning, but she's like drenched in her own blood, and that is terrifying. Do you think the intent is to kill at this point? Because y'all are trained. Listen to me. Y'all are trained on all y'all riot gear. Y'all know about rubber bullets. Y'all know the protocol to shoot at the ground and let it ricochet off.
But, I mean, are they really? Because how long is Police Academy?
Girl, that's a whole other conversation. Do y'all see why we're breaking this up into episodes? Because it's levels to this stuff. Like,
okay.
But, I feel like at some rate, y'all are shooting to kill.
Yes.
Because y'all know the power that these rubber bullets have. Y'all have seen in the media that it's what it's done to these people. And even, too, some of these police officers aren't even, you know, maybe they're not with the rubber bullets and the tear gas. But they show as hell are pushing elderly men on the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Or that was so heartbreaking.
Exactly. Or there's peaceful protesters going down and you're tackling them, or you purposely get them in a bunch, cop cars surrounding them.
Yeah.
And I saw this when we were down at Fremont Street. Cop cars coming from here, there, and there. They're surrounding us. But then y'all want us to go. But when we try to run, y'all are right there to get us.
Right.
Like, okay, is the math adding up at this point? It's not.
Like the college students that were trying to go home. Like, it just turned 9 o'clock or whatever their curfew was. And you
right.
snatching them out their car like that?
Oh, the couple?
Yes.
And did you know that they weren't even protesting?
See, like, that's what I'm talking about.
But, and y'all, y'all got to see the video on YouTube because it's there. There's another extended part of the footage that you see. And this makes my blood boil. You see them getting apprehended at the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a white woman. A little white girl waving her hand out.
Oh, yeah, in the car in front of them, right?
Girl.
Yes, I seen that.
If that's not white privilege in America, then baby, I don't know what is.
Or, like, it was another video, and this video was actually taken out here in Las Vegas. It was a younger white guy, probably around our age. He was walking, like, I believe, trying to get to his car, and then the police just came out of nowhere.
Let's see.
Snatched him up. It's like, sir, can I walk to my car?
Because you want me to go, and that's
right.
what I'm trying to do.
I'm trying to do that.
It's mind-boggling.
Like, what is wrong with y'all?
Right.
Y'all need help. Like, y'all legit need help in therapy every freaking day.
And you know what? And like I said, it's levels to this stuff. Like, we're gonna break this up into separate episodes, but I will say this right now. Police training needs to be a little bit longer. And y'all just need to learn some de-escalation techniques, because the videos that I have seen are disgusting. They disgust me.
Yeah.
But another thing I want to bring up, like I already said before we got into the tangent, was even if you are uncomfortable with the protests or going out there, you know, COVID-19 is still a thing. If you do not feel comfortable doing that, rightfully so. I'm out here with you. There's work to be done at home, in the comfort of your own home, while you're socially distancing. And, you know, you can read black literature, support
mm-hmm.
black business,
mm-hmm.
educate yourself and others if you feel that that's your place, because there's and I'll have to include this in the next episode because I don't have it at reference right now, but there's different kinds of people in times like this, and there's the educator that really stuck with me, and that's the person who, you know, is kind of doing the background work. We're signing petitions,
yeah,
sharing them out on social media platforms, educating ourselves, posting it on social media, just letting everybody know the good word. And I feel like that's where I personally fit in, but we will, of course, go through all of that in the next episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just to wrap things up a little bit, what is one thing that you would like to see in the future as far as progression is concerned?
I would like to see actual actions being taken to those who are in the wrong, like for police officers who are, you know, wrongfully killing people. If you're, like, in the wrong period, I believe they shouldn't get any other pension. They should actual serve jail time.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening now is literally just a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know if the roles were reversed, mm-hmm, the consequence would be outstanding.
Right.
Like, no, and, like, they'll be in jail ASAP, no questions asked.
Right.
And it's crazy as of now, or always, that
yeah,
that they have to, like, weaponize our skin color so much,
right?
Because, you know, I just be chilling. Like, I know me, I just be chilling, just minding being my black business, and beautiful, right?
Let me live.
Let me ride in my core.
Please, like, seriously,
please,
please,
please.
I think one thing that I would like to see, and I'm speaking my mind 100% because it's Let's Talk About a podcast. We talk about it here. But I would like to see police and prison reform. I would like to see the mass funding that goes into law enforcement be spent in our schools,
police,
health,
police,
and various public affairs.
Please.
These groups can benefit immensely if the local and state governments were to fund these programs as such. You know, most of all, I just want people to understand that Black Lives Matter is more than just a movement. This is a human rights movement. It's not political, and it's an ethical standard.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be treated with equity, and we want our cases to be handled with the utmost form of justice and mm-hmm fairness. The legitimacy of Black lives shouldn't be something to argue about.
Exactly.
But here we are. Time after time again, we are shown that this system, in all cases, has not been built to benefit Black lives.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as social justice movements are concerned, a little push can shake the entire world.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the future, and baby, you're seeing it right now. We are near, like, 2 weeks of protests, and George Floyd killers have been charged, and I say killers because
that's
all
what
of them,
they are.
All of them. Breonna Taylor, her case has been reopened, and we're awaiting for their charges because they deserve it. And two, this is the only beginning of the fight. And like the Maya Angelou quote I said earlier, it's all about staying determined and mm-hmm understanding that with a little defeat comes with success. And we just have to stay motivated throughout this entire thing.
Exactly.
And like I said, for those of you, do the work. Let your voice be heard because mm-hmm you have one. Educate yourself. Keep each other in the loop. And all that good stuff. So,
and then to also piggyback off of that, because I seen a tweet, I believe it was, these past 2 weeks, what, you know, what we've been doing and trying to change, it's not going to change 400 years of what's been placed in this country.
Of oppression.
Yes.
Right.
So we need to keep doing the work so we can see more changes going on in the country.
Right. And make our
the
ancestors
world
proud.
Right. Yeah.
So that's it for this first episode. We are not sure how long this series will go for, but we would appreciate if you guys tuned into the conversation because it is a conversation that has to be had. The second part of this conversation should be released in a timely manner this time because
we were out there on the streets.
Right, we have a plan. But, you know, I just want to thank everyone who tuned into our first episode.
I was very happy. Thank you, family. Y'all always show up and
right
show out.
Thank you, everyone. Continue to share our podcast.
And also, we have an Instagram. Follow us.
We
it's,
do. Let me get it.
Podcast.letstalkaboutit.
Oh, no, no. Oh, it is. You're
okay
right.
Yeah, it's
and
podcast.letstalkaboutit.
Follow us on Instagram. We're going to be more active on that page.
Yes.
Like I said, we were hit. We were dumbfounded by everything that went
exactly.
on. We are doing our parts, as y'all should be doing yours, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. But of course, stay blessed. Don't be stressed. Take care of yourself.
Stay beautiful and black.
Okay. And for everyone, thank you guys so much for coming in. And we will see y'all soon. Bye.